Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that this afternoon this word should be a living word to each and everyone who hears it, that, Lord, it shall be made of imperishable, incorruptible seed planted in our hearts to bring forth a mighty harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited. I always am. Whenever I read and study for something to bring, I always find it so exciting at the things we discover. And today, I'd like to just pop this on the OHP first. More haste, less speed. I'll see it. Today I just want to give us a brief insight into the big picture. God's original purpose. God's original plan for Adam was to start at point A and to go through to Z. God never intended him to go the XY route. But sadly, we all know why Adam went the XY route. Adam sinned and he went down to X, and then God had to add a plan of redemption to his original purpose for mankind, to bring him back up to right standing with God. And he did that through the cross of Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to die as a man. He bore all our sin and he rose again from the dead. And by his life we are justified. By his death we are justified. By his life we live that eternal life in Christ Jesus. Because he lives, we shall live also. Now, Adam had the freedom of choice. Adam was created perfect, but he was created as a natural man. And when God created him perfect, he gave him the power of choice. And this is where Adam made his first choice. When in the garden the devil came to deceive him, Adam had a choice. Was he going to listen to the devil or was he going to obey God? And as we know, Adam listened to the devil, and by power of choice he put in motion sin, which all mankind has suffered from that point on. And this is what is termed the redemption box. And this is God's purpose box. Now, for many of us, well, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 46. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 46, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So God always starts with the natural and leads into the spiritual. And he was doing nothing any different when he created Adam. Adam was created a natural man with the power of choice. It was God's intention that through obedience, Adam should be transformed into a spiritual man. Obedience would bring him to maturity. And God is looking for mature men and women to be the sons of God. We cannot enter into this inheritance until we come to this maturity that God has for us. But how does he do it? Although Adam was created perfect, his moral character was incomplete. To become a mature person, we've said he had choices to make and he had to pass through testing. Those choices had to stand up to God's test. And I'm here to tell you today that nothing's changed. God still gives us choices. We have a free choice. We can either obey God or we can disobey. But God will always give us the choice and he will always put us through. He will always test what metal we're made of. And I thought, when I sort of thought about this, I thought, there was a verse in Hebrews 5 that always baffled me. And now it's made clear. Because it says, let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And verses 7 to 9. And I'm reading here from the Message because it spells it out very clearly. Though he, that's Jesus, was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity, and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal life to all who believingly obey him. Now, Jesus is our example. And if Jesus became obedient through the things that he suffered, how much more is it going to happen to us? He set the pattern, and that's the pattern that will be in our lives. God is always going to give us choices. And you know, through the things that Jesus suffered, he learned obedience. And that equipped him to become the saviour of the world. Now that's powerful. If we make the right choices and we choose to grow with God, then who knows what God's destiny is for us? Jesus fulfilled his destiny by obedience and being submitted to the Father. He became a mature person. You know, God made us to grow, firstly, naturally. A baby's born, the baby grows. The baby gets taller than us, and he becomes a man of full stature. And so it is in the spiritual. We are born as new birth, we're born into Christ Jesus as babes. But God has put a law into operation, and it's the law of growth. We have to grow. You know, if a child who doesn't grow, it must be, you see some of these abnormal children or children who are mentally retarded, and it must be so frustrating for them as the body grows but the mind doesn't grow, and vice versa, and for their parents. And, you know, lack of growth breeds frustration and it breeds unhappiness. That's why God intends us to grow. As we're growing naturally, he intends us to grow spiritually, because he doesn't want us frustrated and unhappy. He knows how destructive that is. And when we become frustrated and unhappy, we end up going round in ever-decreasing circles. God wants us to grow because growth brings a central satisfaction. Everything may not be perfect in your world, but here's a sign of if you're growing. Are you centrally a happy person? If centrally, at the core of your being, you're happy, and you can, yeah, we may get a bit out of line, we may get a bit frustrated with what is or what isn't happening, but centrally, we are happy, and we are satisfied. That's a sign of growth and maturity. And you know, whilst we don't seek happiness, Happiness is a byproduct of being satisfied, of being, of growing personally and becoming mature. Growth is important, and growth is the only thing that will take us from the redemption box into God's purpose box. Now, who knows what's in that box, God's purpose? There are universes to be claimed. There are kingdoms to rule. God has a great and powerful destiny for us. But we choose whether we move into that destiny or whether we're forever walking around the redemption box. Now, the redemption box is good. We have a tremendous inheritance in Christ Jesus. But God's purpose is that we move on. We go into our inheritance and we move into His, fulfill His purpose. And another scripture that really, and I guess we've all done it, we read it and skip through it and don't fully understand it, but here I've got new revelation from it. And this is a scripture you'll probably have heard, many of you will have heard me pray when we come before into a meeting. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, and specifically verses 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And I'm reading here from the King James. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And it's that last little bit, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, we receive our inheritance because Jesus died on the cross. But in Ephesians 1 we learn that not only do we have an inheritance, God wants to receive His inheritance, and His inheritance is you and me. His riches in us. We're God's inheritance. I don't want God to lose out on His inheritance to you any more than I want to lose out on mine. And so the choice is ours. Will we grow? Will we listen to Him? Will we develop? Will we allow Him to have His inheritance in us? And the way that God receives His inheritance, there's only one way God can receive His inheritance, which is us, and that is if we die to ourselves. Ouch! That hurts. But I'm here to tell every one of us today, there's only one way. If you don't want to go round in ever decreasing circles, if you don't want to be frustrated and you don't want to be unhappy, then there's only one way. That self man has to die. Our ambitions and our plans have to go. And they have to submit to God's higher purpose and authority in our lives. You know, naturally, when you put a seed into the ground, what happens? It has to die to reproduce itself. And when it reproduces itself, wow, what an abundance. God's into multiplication. He's not out to rob you. He's not out to rob you. He's not out to stunt your growth. He's not out to keep you a single cell. He wants you to multiply and to grow and to be abundant. He wants you to blossom and grow and flourish and be attractive to the world and to people outside. He wants you to be like a magnet that draws people because of the beauty of Jesus within you. And this is how it happens, by us dying to ourselves. You know, Jesus had to die too. He had to become obedient. If there was ever a seed sown that brought forth a mighty harvest, it was Jesus. He could have said, "I'm all right, Jack. I'm God's son. I've got everything I need. I'm going to pursue my own purpose. I'm going to pursue my own plans." They blew it. They had a chance. They blew it. End of story. God, wipe your hands of them. But no. No. He set the example and he said, "I'll come down. I'll put my own will out of the way and I'll subject my will to God's will." He said, "Nevertheless, Father, your will be done," in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't it? It was God's will that had to be done. And he set the pattern for us. I was thinking of some others. We were talking on Wednesday about Joseph. Joseph had a destiny. But what a hard journey that took him. He was betrayed. He was rejected. And so was Jesus. He was falsely accused. And so was Jesus. He was imprisoned. Hey, probably a lot more things he suffered. But Joseph stuck to his guns. He would not let the enemy deflect him from his purpose. He knew God had given him a vision. God had given him a dream of the end, of the final outcome. And he was going for that goal. He didn't understand it. The road that he took, he must have thought times many, there's no way that this can happen. But he still stuck to what God had said. We look at Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. They said, "Nevertheless, if we die, we will not bow down to that golden image. We will not bow down to the devil and his system. We will go God's way. We will choose God." And what happened? They were raised up and they were promoted and they were given authority over kingdoms, and they became very, very powerful in the land. I believe Daniel became second most powerful in the land. God rewards obedience. You know, it's tough at the time, but if you keep your eye on God and you keep your eye on the goal, he'll keep you centrally happy. He'll keep you level, keep you straight. But just keep looking to him and don't be too taken up with what's happening or not happening on the outside. Think of Esther. She said, "If I perish, I perish, but I'll go to the king." And Mordecai said to her, you never know, he said to Esther, "Probably you were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this." And I say to all of us today, we don't know what God's got for us, but don't be caught up with what's happening in the now. See the bigger picture. You know, we were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. God has a plan, a divine plan and purpose for us. Before the foundation of the world, he set a plan for you. He saw you before the foundation of the world, and he ordained every day, every hour of every day, he ordained for you. And his plans for you are to give you a hope and a future and a good destiny. That's his plan for us. And he wants us to stay in line with that plan. He wants us to let him fulfill that plan in our lives, no matter how the road takes us. Ruth went with Naomi. Ruth was a Moabitess and Naomi was a child of God. She was an Israelite. And Ruth said to Naomi when her husband had died, Naomi had lost her two sons and she was going back to Bethlehem. And Ruth said, "I'm coming with you." She said, "I'm going to put my plans aside. I've seen in you something that I've never seen before. And I'm saying to you, I'm covenanted to you. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And where you die, there I shall also be buried." Covenant commitment. It makes you weep. It really does. Commitment of people who will say, "No matter what the cost, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it." Mary, the angel came to her. And what did Mary say? "Be it unto me according to your will." There are only a few. There's countless people in Scripture who laid aside their destiny because they laid it aside for a greater destiny, a greater future, a greater plan, a greater purpose. God has a wonderful plan for you, an exciting plan for you. And his plans for you are good and for not for evil. He will give you an expected end. He will give you a hope. He'll give you a future. Your children will be brought up by the Lord and they'll be great in the land. You know, God is looking for people who are prepared to lay down their lives. Self-centeredness is wicked, it's evil, it's hateful. And it should not be found in our lives. You know, I recommend that we read and that we pray Ephesians 1, those verses 17 and 18. And when you read it, think about it. God wants his inheritance. I want mine inheritance. Jesus laid down everything to give me my inheritance. Then the least I can do is lay down everything to give God his inheritance. He's invested so much in me, incorruptible seed. It cannot fail. The only way it can fail is if I choose to walk out. But you know, if I do that, God will still he'll put a roadblock at the end of every road for me. And he'll say, he'll get me to turn back. And if I miss it, he'll put another block up and he'll turn me back. He's so loving and so gracious. He wants us to fulfil our destiny. So much so that he sent Jesus. And you know, I read this and I've run a few copies off. I tried to get it on the OHP. But I put it through the machine and it all shriveled up and the machine ate it. So I didn't try another one. Although they were proper OHPs for the photocopier. I might have put it in the wrong way around. I don't know. But anyway, I thought I'll write it and run a few copies off. And if you want a copy, then please, there's a few here. Feel free to take one. It was in a magazine and it was, I don't know this person, but the name is a Dr. DJ Holland. And this is what he said. It's headed Shaper of Destiny. This is just about the destiny of a woman. I don't know what the destiny of a man is, but I'm sure you men can dig it out because it'll be just as exciting. If the woman is true and tender, loving and heroic, patient and self-devoted, she consciously or unconsciously organises and puts into operation a set of influences that do more to mould the destiny of children. That do more to mould the destiny of the nation than any man could possibly affect. Neither woman nor the nation can afford to have home demoralised or in any way deteriorated by the loss of her presence or the lessening of her influence there. As a nation, we rise or fall as the character of our homes, presided over by women, rises or falls. And the best gauge of our best prosperity is to be found in the measure by which these homes find multiplication in the land. Can I encourage us women here today that we have a greater power over this nation than any prime minister, than any chancellor, than any politician? God has given the women, the small, insignificant, unseen, diligent, honest, loving, heroic, patient, self-devoted women, the prize of forming the nation. I want to fulfil my destiny, that I might fulfil the destiny of this nation and bring in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God will come and the kingdom of God will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. It will be done in me, my earth, and my earth will contribute to it being done throughout the whole earth. Praise God. If you want a copy of The Shaper of Destiny, there's one on there. Feel free to take one. Praise God.